Welcome to The Practical Intuitive, where each Monday at 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern, where host Robin Fritz explores mind, body, and spirit for the real world. Because we are all intuitives and healers, and we must all learn to love ourselves and live that love every day. Robin is a trained and certified intuitive and spiritual consultant and hypnotherapist with an international practice based in Seattle, Washington. As the practical intuitive, she covers personal and business intuition, animal communication, mediumship, space clearing, past life regression, shamanic insights, energy healing, soul choice. It's all here. Readings, healings, and funny, warm, thought-provoking conversations. It's Robin Fritz, the practical intuitive, helping you mastermind body and spirit for the real world. No ifs, ands, buts, or BS ever.
Welcome to the Practical Intuitive Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz, and we are live in Seattle, Washington, and today is one of my favorite subjects, a broader subject of our animal families. But I'm going to dip into some categories of talking about our animals that are somewhat controversial and applying it to our practical everyday intuition. So today we're talking about practical intuition and real life with our animal families. That is, we have obviously mystical connections with our animals, but we also all live in the real world with them. So how do we look at things that matter in our daily lives, from how you acquire an animal family member to vaccinations to spay and neutering to food to the mind, body, spirit issues we should be thinking about when we live with our animal families? Obviously, this is a topic that can and will go on for a long period of time here on my show, because it does that in our daily lives. But we're going to touch on some main topics today, some things to talk about and think about and ask ourselves how we got that idea in the first place and go from there. So, but also I want to point out that my work is about helping all of us learn to tap our natural, our innate, our inborn human skills, intuition and healing, and to tap those, because all of life has those skills and we are simply catching up with the rest of life. So you are welcome and encouraged to call in with questions, with comments, to even get a quick intuitive reading. Or if you're shy, you're certainly welcome to email me with your questions, with your thoughts. And of the last two shows, I've covered those questions, and more come in every day. So I'm happy to get those from you. So if you'd like to call in, that phone number is 202-570-7057. And you're more than welcome. Call in today and share some of your observations about life with your animal families. But now, before we jump right into the show topic, let's do what we do every week, and that is create sacred space with the crystal Fallon. Fallon is a citrine Lemurian quartz, a very rare form of Lemurian quartz because of the citrine in it, but he's also an ancient healer and a truth bringer. We have been together in many lifetimes. We're back together in this one. I've had several requests to explain that in more detail, which I will in upcoming shows. But today, practice your own intuitive and healing abilities by connecting with Fallon in the show. And at the end of the show, we'll ground everybody back down into their bodies, because sometimes connecting with Fallon gets your crown chakra all wound up and makes you a little bit lightheaded. So connect with him in the way your intuition works most strongly, seeing pictures, hearing things talk with you, feeling energy, or simply knowing that you're connected. And if you take your attention to the top of your head, imagine that we are creating community within the Om Times community here. We're connecting mind, body, and spirit. This is your hour to be with community, to feel the energy of connection. So let the cares of the day go away as you breathe down from the top of your head to the bottom of your feet. Starting at the top of your head, breathe down your face, your shoulders, your chest, your hips, your knees, and your feet. The top of your head to the bottom of your feet. And just feel the cares of the day washing away, getting grounded and centered in your chair. And now as you breathe up from your feet to the top of your head, just welcome Fallon's healing energy, however you will. It's safe. It's pretty amazing, and it's here for you today. So breathing up from your feet, past your knees, your hips, your chest, your shoulders, your face, and the top of your head. Note your connection to the crystal and to the rest of the Om Times community. So this week I want to talk about practical intuition and real life with our animal families and issues like, do you buy from a breeder? Do you adopt from a shelter? Why does the word rescue hurt your family? What about vaccinations and spay and neuter and food and end-of-life issues and so on? We're going to cover a number of different subjects here today, but the first and most important thing, to me at least, is how we regard our animal family members. And when we're talking about family, we're talking about, you know, the ups and downs of daily life. And it, for want of a better description, we're all learning to navigate the world and the universe within the bodies that we've chosen for this lifetime's experience. Our animals have chosen animal bodies to grow their souls. We have chosen human bodies. In the average everyday course of nature, we tend to outlive our animal family members. But, and we have started creating families with them, what I call multi-species families, so that within that family structure, you have human, you have animal, and you have whatever else is going on in your life. My family includes my crystals and Raymond the jade tree, who's 50 some years old, and my dad grew from a single leaf and is now like really, really big. I had to build a whole section of floor just for Raymond the jade tree. So that gives you an idea of what you could consider to be family members, those beings that you have soul connections with. But over the last generation or two, as we have started to understand that we can communicate telepathically with animals and learn what they're up to and create families with them on this deeper soul level, where we're not just striving for survival anymore, we're learning up with our animal families. We're learning to create families and all that secret and difficult issues that we have in a normal daily life, and growing and learning together and supporting each other on their soul journeys. That's what we're doing. Is when we come together in families, we're giving each other a hand up on continuing to grow our souls. But to me, at least, there has been a disturbing trend in the last few generations, and especially among a number of healers and animal communicators out there, in considering our family members as teachers and gurus, as somehow our mystical connection to the divine, and putting what I consider an unfair and debilitating burden on our animal families. And I say that because it's as if we're pushing the need to learn and grow and to direct us and teach us and guide us onto our animals, when that is a job that all of us have on our own. That's our job to grow our souls. It's our job to learn to teach ourselves what's going on in the world and how to grow our souls in the world. And somehow we've pushed that burden off onto our animal families. And part of the reason for that is we look at our animals, they're living with us, they're not human, they're interacting with us. And so you see that intelligence, you see that growth, and you see this tremendous ability of an animal to give to you, to give love, to give connection, to provide comfort, to be there. And so many of us live alone these days that for many people it's become kind of putting ourselves onto our animals and expecting all of the things that we would expect from a larger family relationship. You mothers and fathers and brothers and sisters and aunts and uncles and friends and family and so on, expecting from the animals to give us something more than any one body is capable of giving, human or animal. And I find it disturbing because what it does is push anthropomorphism into a singularly unhealthy category. So let me back up and explain what I mean by that. You know, how do we live with animals as family members? It's a test of our intuition, of our healing abilities, of our common sense, of our choice and how we live in the world, of discerning what's right and what's wrong and what works for us and what doesn't. And a lot of us who work with animals on a daily basis like I do, who are free and open about being able to telepathically communicate with them, about describing our relationships with animals that writers have done over the last several decades, and you know, waxing nostalgic about how animals have healed us from illnesses. It's not exactly true, and I know I fell into that myself when my dog Murphy and I were learning to heal ourselves and recognizing that we came together again as a family member, that this was a safe time, one of the safest times perhaps that we ever had together, of healing past life crap and creating healthy bodies, that we had brought crap from previous lives into our current lives and it was time to heal it. I said a little bit different than expecting animals to heal us. And here's the thing. When we talk about the concept of anthropomorphism, we're talking about the tendency to describe human feelings and characteristics as something that an animal would have, so that an animal would think and act like us. Well, it is true that animals think and act, and it is true that we look at them sometimes and we think, my gosh, that's an awful lot like a human behavior. And they could be looking at us and thinking, wow, they're acting an awful lot like a dog or a cat or like I act, right? But one of the problems in looking at our animals, especially when they are so loving and giving and adaptable to us, which is, of course, partly a survival technique. I mean, right? Don't you play up to your parents in order to get fed kind of thing? But looking at our animals and interpreting their behavior or their being with us as something that supports us tends to neglect that their lives, their inner lives, their physical lives, their spiritual lives, which all beings have, need to be evaluated on the terms related to that species. So we need to be looking at their lives as they're choosing to live their lives and not as us forcing this concept of being healers and teachers onto them. As an example, some years ago I attended a two-day animal communication workshop by a well-known animal communicator, and I was about to lose my mind. She was walking around the room. She was grabbing a cat out of a carrier and petting this cat and showing everybody how this cat was everybody's healer and teacher. And at the end, this cat was off in its carrier, off with its human, and this human was petting it and going, oh my God, this cat is my healer and it's my teacher, and oh my gosh. And the cat was having a mental nervous breakdown. I could see this both as an animal communicator, as an intuitive, and as just an observant human being watching the animal's tension, having already watched this animal try to struggle away from being carted around in a room full of 70 people. I mean, you just don't do that kind of thing to a cat, but or to any animal that isn't really out there and wanting to be with people all the time, like breeds like my dog, a Cavalier King Charles Spaniel. So I was there with somebody that I had met, and I said, can you cover for me for a minute? And so she stepped in front so the teacher couldn't see me, because I was very concerned about the welfare of the cat. So I went back to the woman and I said, how are you? And so on. And she goes, oh, this cat is my teacher and my healer, and I just can't communicate with it. And I'm like, yeah, because you're like sitting like a lead weight on top of this poor cat. And I didn't say that out loud. What I said was, Why? What if you looked at your cat and connected with it and asked it to just say hello to you as an equal instead of asking it to be your teacher and healer? Why don't you just connect with it as hi, cat, and so on? And she looked at me like I was like out of some strange planet. And then she turned to the cat and she practiced that because somehow she was open to being practicing to practicing in the class. And as she changed her attitude and her the way she really directed herself, which is also her energy at the cat visibly relaxed. And not only that, she actually went, oh my God, the cat is going, well, now I'm feeling better. So she was also communicating with it. She was doing that by taking away that burden of pushing the need to be a healer and a truth bringer onto the cat and making it what it was, an equal being with us, just in a different body than ours. So as we think about that for today, now I want to we're coming up onto the commercial break, but I want to jump into some specific topics that I've had to deal with over the last 20 years since I brought animals back into my life again, what I've learned the hard way and how I look at things now to give you some ideas of how you might approach your animal family if you think it works for you, if it makes sense to you, if it makes sense not just on an intuitive and a healing level, but in a common sense, fact-based relationship. So we'll be right back after the break. If you'd like to call in and share your thoughts about your animal families, 202-570-7057.
Your conscious connection to a more mindful world. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Change and growth are part of natural life and also part of your spiritual life. Everyone needs support and guidance, especially during life passages. Upgrade yourself with the Om Times Experts program. With Om Times Experts, you have access to the best intuitive coaches, spiritual teachers, counselors, astrologists, and oracles. Our team was carefully selected so you can trust. Find out more at experts.omtimes.com.
Hello, I'm Lisa Barry. Join me every Monday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time for Light on Living, a chance to see new, hear different, and feel more as I shine the spotlight on all the ways to lighten the load of life's challenges. Light on Living is your link to that new way you're looking for. That new understanding that will enhance your life and that positive connection that will support your growth. So join me and you'll gain insight and start to see things in a new way that motivates you.
I'm Fidel Nshombo. I was born in a city called Bukavu in the Congo. We were a loving family and then, boom, everything that I had disappeared in a single day. People think that when you are a refugee, and they resettle you to America, and all your problems are done. They don't understand that that's the beginning of everything.
I was not born a refugee. I was made one.
It's time we welcome refugee families with open arms. Learn more at embracerefugees.org, brought to you by the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Practical Intuitive, Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz, and we're talking about practical intuition in our animal families. Okay, so what I was talking about before is really more in the esoteric, larger concept of things. How do we apply living with our animals as family members and not as the gurus and teachers? Okay, so you already know how I feel about that, to our daily lives. Well, I was thinking about this on the weekend. I was also remembering something that I talked about with my dog Alki, who died in 2014. Cavalier King Charles Spaniel, a boy. They are very codependent dogs. They bond with one person and that's it. It's very hard to rehome these boys, and it takes a while to get used to living with one who doesn't want to let you out of their sight. But I learned a lot about really creating a family and rolling with the punches with that particular dog. He's very enthusiastic. He was, you know, very much like, I have to be with you all the time. And I had to, you know, adapt myself, as we do in families, right? We learn to know what the other person needs and wants, and we see how we can all adapt and live together that way. And so I learned a lot from him about love and what love was. And it was never something that I was very fond of, the word love, I think. A lot of health issues, you know, things like divorce and that kind of thing that got in the way of growing up for me, perhaps. But this dog was really amazing. And after he died, we were chatting, and we'd had a very traumatic last year with both of us. And I was grieving his loss, and he was grieving because he did not want to die. And he said something so profound. I shared it this morning on Facebook Live. And to me, it's like one of the most profound things I've ever heard, ever. And it was, because we loved each other, there is more love in the world. Because we loved each other, there is more love in the world. And you know, you think about that and you think, yes, we do love each other. So what do we do about loving each other? What do we do? How do we take that out into the world? How do we create families? And how do we just model that? So the energy of how we're modeling that, even behind closed doors, that the energy of that seeps out and acts as a leavening agent in the world to raise up the vibration of love and contentment and connection. And the other thing that really struck me happened this year, when I was exchanging short little session with another intuitive, and our eyes went wide, and she was talking to my dog Murphy, my first Cavalier King Charles Spaniel, my soulmate dog who died in 2012. And she said, "Thank you, Mother, for helping them see us." And I hold that in front of me as the reason why I'm willing to go out there and say, no, animals are not teachers and gurus. They are living beings with their own soul purpose. They've chosen the body of an animal companion to achieve that soul purpose. Now, how do we support them, and how do we make space for them to support themselves within our family structure? That's what we need to be thinking about. And that includes the practical, everyday, daily life issues. So it brings up the concept of, what do you think and why do you think it? Now, 20 years ago, when Murphy came into my family, I'd been away from animals for 12 years. And things were really different than they had been. And part of it was that veterinary medicine had become much more technical than it had been. They had many more things that they could use to help animals. Just the other day, I was reading about a surgical heart surgery technique that they're practicing on animals. That kind of thing was unheard of even a few years ago. But 20 years ago, not a thing. So she's 6 months old, and the veterinarian is telling me she needs to be spayed. And I'm like, oh, well, what about her hormones? I mean, she's literally just a baby. Oh, they're fine. They recover fine, and they're going to be fine, and everything's going to be fine. And we don't want to put unwanted animals out there on the planet, so we don't want them reproducing. Well, that weirdness stuck in my head, and it stuck in my head for a really long time. In 2012, Murphy died of hemangiosarcoma, which is a fatal terminal cancer, cannot be successfully treated, and is directly related to early spay neuter. 25% greater chance if you spay or neuter an animal early, especially the girls. What the hell are we doing? Why are we killing our animals? And I'd already been researching that subject, because one of the things that I do as an animal communicator, as an intuitive, and as a person, a human being who lives with animals, is try to keep up with the literature, try to keep up with what's going on out there, try to make rational, reasonable connections and decisions for my animal family with them if I can, and asking them, what is it that you would like in this situation? And we thought we were doing the right thing, but what were we doing? So way back in the 70s, they started seeing a lot of animals out there without families, and oh my gosh, you know, what are we going to do about the excess animals? So let's spay them and neuter them early. Why? Because obviously people aren't responsible enough to take care of their animals, to supervise them so they don't reproduce. And so the way we do that is to convince them that it's unhealthy for them to maintain their reproductive abilities, their hormonal connections. And because we can operate, now we can operate on them at 8 weeks and spay and neuter them, and they're fine, they recover really fast, and of course everything's fine. Is it, people? Because right now in this country, 50% of our dogs over 10 are getting cancer. That is unacceptable, and it's our fault. It's our fault for listening to the politics behind the medical decisions. And it happens all the time. It happens in our view of what God is, our view of what a country should be, our view of what religion should be, our view of culture. We get an idea in our head and we hang on to it and we say it's the right thing. It is not, and it has not been for a very long time. And there is literature out there to support the idea that all of our thinking about spaying and neutering them early is going to help them. It is not. Everything that they claimed was helping is actually the opposite. Dogs are more aggressive if you spay and neuter them early. They have arthritis. They have continence problems. They develop cancer, for God's sake, and that cannot be cured. I spent years helping that dog recover from health issues that she was born with, only to watch her die of a cancer that I was probably guilty of bringing on, in the sense that I allowed her to be spayed before she was sexually mature. And that's what we need to be thinking about these days. So after I lost her, I started talking to people, and they go, well, of course, we don't want to contribute to the overpopulation. And it's like, who is doing that these days? Nobody. Only the people who are really going to keep their animals out of the shelter in the first place. Really? I mean, it's not the issue. The issue is, what do we do for the welfare of our animal families, just like we do for our own welfare? So now, what are the protocols? What have the protocols been for many years already to take your dogs? Okay, well, let's talk dogs, just dogs. Female dogs through at least 2 heat cycles till they're sexually mature. And then consider spaying them for your convenience, their convenience, and the other things that can happen over time, which we can get into at another show. But things like pyometra, which is basically a damaged uterus. And there was almost no reason to ever neuter a male dog. None, right? And everybody said, well, they'll be more aggressive. No, it's not proven. Scientifically, it's proven wrong. Well, they'll get prostate cancer. Actually, the research has shown that prostate cancer happens more in neutered dogs than unneutered dogs. So what the hell are we doing? We're listening to a political idea that somebody created some years ago, and somehow it became a collective thought form that's messing us up, messing our families up, messing our animals up, and messing us up. Now, how is an animal going to fulfill its life purpose, whatever it came into that body to do, to grow its soul, if we're messing up its basic ability to live a healthy life? It's a tough thing. And I'm not saying that everybody should go out there and not spay or neuter their animals. I'm saying you need to look at it within your family. And I'm saying if you're going to a shelter to adopt an animal and they're giving you an animal that's already been spayed or neutered, what are they saying to you? That you're not smart enough or responsible enough to take care of this animal to make sure it doesn't reproduce itself. Not a single one of those people from a shelter is with you in the cancer ward. Trust me, because I have been there. Not a single one of them. But they'll preach to you about how healthy they are because they neutered those poor little kids at 6 and 8 weeks old. even at 3 months, even at 6 months. So I just want you to think about when you bring an animal into your life, just like you bring a human into your life, you're responsible for it. You know, you're responsible for kids up to the age of consent, and then you're responsible for talking with them. But you're responsible for the things that happen to your animal family as much as you can in terms of the medical issues that happen on a regular basis. I'm not talking about a dog that breaks its leg or some sort of accident. I'm talking about things like spay and neuter, and I'm talking about the mindset that works out there. So what are you going to do as a responsible family member to support the animals in your family? I think we should shut down the shelter system in this country, in the United States. I think we should say, we're not going to adopt a dog or a cat from you if you spayed or neutered it before I take it home. And now hang on. Within a year, that law, that issue that shelters have will go away. Why? Because they aren't getting any money from us. I know shelters here in Washington State, Humane Society, charging $350 for you to adopt an animal that's already spayed and neutered. And they're like, oh, well, we're doing this favor. Are they, or are they becoming the new puppy millers? Think about it and think about what you want. Now, if you want to go to a shelter and adopt an animal, that's up to you. That's fine. You do what you need to do for yourself. And you do what you need to do to find that animal that you have the soul connection with. Because that's how you create your animal families in the first place. You go out and you find your soul connections. I buy purebred animals. And my cat, my previous cat, Grace the Cat, she was supposed to be a bag of dog cookies. I showed up at the local independent pet store for cookies. And they're sponsoring... they're fostering kittens and cats there for the local group, independent group here. And that's how Grace the Cat came home. My current cat, Karis, which is Grace the Cat reincarnated, is a Russian blue cat I bought from a breeder. And even then, I had to say, gosh, you know what? I don't want you to spay her before I bring her home. Just trust me. And they're like, how can we trust you? And I said, because I have a Cavalier King Charles Spaniel, male dog from the top breed lines in the country, and he is not neutered. The breeder knew that was not going to happen, and he trusted me with him. Now, you can trust me with your purebred Russian blue cat, because otherwise I could be making a fortune off of breeding my Cavalier, and I'm not going to do that. The reason I'm not neutering him is because that's what the protocols say these days. That's how I'm keeping him healthy. That's how I hope I'm keeping him healthy. That's how I hope I'm not making any other future mistakes. And that's the situation. Look at the facts. Look at what experience shows you. Look at your common sense. Like I was doing 20 years ago with Murphy. Why are we spaying her when she's so young? Doesn't she need her hormones? Yes, indeed they do. And if they don't have them, what happens? Their bones grow in wrong and they get severe arthritis. If you have ever seen anyone, human or animal, with arthritis, you would know what I'm talking about. It is horrible. It is unfair. And if we're bringing that on because of some political concept, then we're completely wrong, and we should not just be ashamed of ourselves, but should think seriously about how we're making the decisions that we're making. And so that applies to everything that we're looking at on a daily life with our animal families. And then where does your intuition come in? Well, way back when, my intuition was screaming loud and clear that I shouldn't be spaying a dog that was only 6 months old, as well as my common sense chiming in. But I thought that the veterinarian community knew what it was doing, and they had all of, and I, you know, we didn't have the kind of access to research that we had, and I hadn't seen what was really going on at the time. And I just didn't listen as well as I could have to both my common sense and to my intuition. And that's what I'm urging you to do. Quit thinking about the politics behind the situation. Quit thinking about the places, the Humane Society, the shelters, all of those places, even the places with the great names like Best Friends, advocating early spaying and neutering of animals, because it's really not correlated at all to their health, right? But it's also not correlated at all to the so-called overpopulation problem, because it's been going on long enough that we wouldn't have the problem if that was really the cause of the problem, right? I mean, that's what we need to be looking at. What are the long-term ramifications of the decisions that we make for our animal family members? What have they proven over time? That's how I look at everything: religion, culture, politics, whatever. And that's certainly how I've had to look at it with my animal families. And I've had this conversation with veterinarians too, and even local veterinarians who are creating new models of care for animals. Because you know why people aren't adopting animals these days? Because they can't afford to take care of them. Because going to the vet is such an expensive proposition. And that's another area where we need to be looking at and really being grateful that there's so many wonderful things that they can do to help our animals these days. But as I tell a lot of people, what it looks like to me is that the veterinary community is like 20 years behind the human medical community, in that they have many, many different kinds of instruments, of procedures, of medicines, of everything that they could do to run a billion tests and make sure your animal's healthy. But at what cost to you, at what cost to animals? When I hear people tell me that they want an animal, but they're not going to bring one into their family because they're afraid they can't afford to take care of it, there is something really wrong. There's something really wrong out there. I even worry about it, and who doesn't? Any little thing goes wrong. Okay, so years ago, more than 20 years ago, I had a dog that walked into a bee's nest and she got stung multiple times. It's a weekend. I called the vet. The vet goes, give her a Benadryl. Do this, you know, call me back if she's not better in a few minutes. I gave her a Benadryl and she was fine. Nowadays that happens. You go to the vet, it's $200. I know, because my little boy, had lost a fight with a yellow jacket, swallowed it, stung it multiple times, his throat swelled up. Yeah, that was an emergency room vet. But really, we need to look at what that costs. So back in a minute, call in 202-570-7057.
A conscious lifestyle for a mindful life. Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Ascending Hearts is no ordinary dating site, but a spiritual dating site with a purpose: to link you with your soulmate. We engineer the serendipity so you can trust that you will attune with someone that has the same matching vibration as you. Ascending Hearts, the conscious dating site for the spiritually aware. Try Ascending Hearts for free. AscendingHearts.com.
Hello, I'm Sandy Sedgbeer, host of Om Times Magazine's flagship radio show, What Is Going Om? My passion is sifting through information, research, and innovations from New Thought teachers, speakers, and researchers, pushing back the boundaries of what we know about life, energy, metaphysics, and the universe. I love shifting perceptions about who we are, why we're here, and how quickly impossible becomes normal when we open our minds, expand our awareness, and accept that the only limits that exist are those we place upon ourselves. So if you're the kind of forward-thinking, eager investigator of what lies beyond the current reality that most perceive, why not make a date to come play with me in the field of possibilities at 4 p.m. Pacific Time, 7 p.m. Eastern Time every Thursday, and together we can discover what's really going on.
Today we decided to walk to school. The light counted. 15, 14...
13?
We took a left on Carroll Street. Danny's smart, but he gets distracted. He realized he forgot his homework. I hope he doesn't have another bad day at school.
When you can see learning and attention issues from their side, you can be on their side. That's why there's Understood.org, a free resource for the parents of the 1 in 5 kids with learning and attention issues. Go from misunderstanding to Understood.org. Brought to you by Understood and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to the Practical Intuitive Mind, Body, Spirit for the Real World. It's Robin Fritz, and I'm venting about practical intuition in our animal families. All right. So How are you going to start applying your intuition to what happens with your animals? Okay, so if you have an emergency, scoop up your animal and by all means rush to the nearest veterinary clinic. Hopefully you have an established relationship with one. But yes, it's very expensive. And there are veterinarians out there who are trying to create models where you can come in, see a vet, and get treated in a reasonable fashion that doesn't break your bank, but also helps them pay their bills. There are vets like that out there. And veterinarians are great and wonderful people. And I'm very, very careful when I work with veterinarians, either with my own animals, having lost three now in the last 20 years. But also what I work with veterinarians with animal clients, when people bring me in at the end of life to help supervise the transition or to be there to give the animal's viewpoint when the veterinarian is explaining what's going on. These people love animals. They go into the business of taking care of animals because they love animals, and they have one of the highest suicide rates in the country, in the United States, I'm talking. What the hell? It's tough. It's tough for them. It's tough for you. Nobody wants to say goodbye to an animal. So that's a consideration. So that's a practical consideration. What's going through the veterinarian's mind when they're dealing with your sick animal? How are they handling it emotionally? And what are your options? What's actually happening right here and now? And what can you afford? And what can you postpone for a period of time for daily care? And what makes sense and what does not? Now, some years ago, my dog Alki was sleeping and he jerked his leg in his sleep and he caught his toenail on the ridge of the fireplace. Freaky, freaky accident. And I didn't realize what had happened at first. All of a sudden was that he started screaming and he runs over to me and I'm like, why are you screaming? And then why is all that blood on the floor? He had ripped his toenail off and it was just pouring out blood. So I rushed him to the ER, you know, and you compress an open wound and they cauterized it and they wrapped it up and they sent him home, right? Simple procedure. Not that expensive. But another friend had a dog who lost his toenail and she takes him in. She didn't stop to think about staying with him. And the bill was $800. What the heck were they doing? They did blood tests. They did x-rays. I don't know what they did besides a blood test and all the workup. But $800. And this is why people can't afford to have animals. There's no way it should have cost her $800. So what should you do when you're in that kind of situation? How do you choose a food for your animal family? What do you decide about vaccinations? I mean, all of these things are things that are on the table now. All of these things are things to look at. And people complain. I see it in social media. Oh, you know, all vets want to do is have you come in and give your dog or your animal a vaccination. With good reason, because they don't want to see them die of a horrible disease. And I come from a family where that happened years and years ago when I was a little kid. We had Vizslas, very rare dogs at the time. My dad had seen in World War II in Europe. They were called Hungarian Vizslas at the time. And we had one die of distemper. I mean, vaccinations, human and animals, are there to help prevent disease. Beyond that, it's a bigger discussion. Not one I can really get into here today, but there are people out there in the veterinary community. Gene Dodds is one of them, Dodds. You can, Jean, you can look up her website. She has vaccination protocols. And you can look at that and get an idea of what works for your animal in the part of the country that you live in. What is your animal routinely exposed to? What is it not? Here in Seattle, we don't have heartworm. We don't even have rabies. But we don't have heartworm, so there's no point in giving your dog a regular heartworm medication. But in other parts of the country, it's a serious problem. So where do you live? What is the situation? How do you have a rational conversation with a veterinarian? By doing your research and asking appropriate questions. Then by listening to the answers and applying these elements to it. One, what does experience show you? So what is the experience of the people in the area that you live in with that dog or with that with the dogs or cats, whatever your animal is, just reducing it to those two species for our conversation. What is your personal experience? What is the science behind whatever it is they want to do? What do you feel about it? What are your emotions? You know, what does your common sense tell you about that? If you have to, write it all down and then stop and give yourself time for your intuition to say, okay, how do I think about this? How do I evaluate this? What is coming into my mind as a question? Now, 20 years ago, when I didn't realize there was such a thing called intuition, even though I was having what I now call intuitive experiences, my intuition was asking me, why the heck was I neutering a six-month-old female dog? For what reason? Because a veterinarian wanted it done because we had to prevent pet overpopulation, which had nothing to do with my dog. And it still doesn't have anything to do with most people's dogs or animals. So what is your intuition telling you about that situation? What does your family situation tell you about the situation? Are you going to just open the door and let your dog or your cat run loose in the neighborhood? Well, you've got a bigger problem than whether you're going to spay or neuter it, right? You've got to worry about animals attacking it, getting run over, and bothering other people and other animals. And you have all kinds of concerns. So listen to your intuition. Give yourself time to do that. If you're in an emergency at a veterinary hospital and you've got a bleeding emergency or something else going on that needs rapid and immediate attention, then you're going to have to go with listening rapidly to what your intuition tells you along with what all the facts and situation are. But learn to trust your intuition because it's giving you very immediate information. In fact, the information is already there. You just need to learn how to grasp it. But first, we all need how to think. And this is one of the reasons why I'm talking about practical intuition today in our animal families, because we start to think in terms of what our culture is doing, what our culture is saying to us, what is floating around there as the acceptable way of living. And what's been floating around out there since the 70s is that we have a pet overpopulation here in this country, and as a result also in Canada, neighboring countries. And therefore, we should neuter all young animals so we don't have that problem. Where in heaven's name did that ever make sense to anybody? How did that ever make sense to anybody? Even at the time when that was being explained to me, I was like, what? How does that even make sense? Well, it doesn't. And if you did any research and you were, you know, studied what they're doing in Europe, they think we're barbarians. They don't do that to their animals. And their male and female dogs socialize well in public, and their females are in heat, which is at most twice a year for dogs. They put little panties on them and they keep them indoors. You know, they don't go out to the parks where all the other boy dogs are running loose, and it's all just fine. They don't have the overpopulation problems we have here. So where does that problem come from? Ted Caruso has a book out there called Pucca's Promise, and is written several years ago, but his research turned up not the problem of overpopulation, but a problem of poverty in our country. Poverty in the United States. Poverty. It has to get you thinking about what's going on there and how we're handling. And it applies to everything. You know, it applies to our religion. It applies to how we govern our country. It applies to how we get along with our neighbors. Do you stop at a red light? Of course you do. Because if you don't, somebody who's got the green could run into you, and then everybody could be hurt. We create rules to protect ourselves. We create rules to protect other people. We create rules because rules are how you create a society where everybody lives together. And as we get more and more people in the world, which again is another problem, but as we get more and more people in the world and the world isn't getting any bigger, we have to create more and more rules for how we all get along and how we all use what will become rapidly decreasing resources. How do we make choices for our animals and for ourselves? You know, it goes back to Alki after he died telling me that we were a great team and that because we loved each other, there's more love in the world. And Murphy's saying, thank you, Mother, for helping them to see us. And what are we seeing? We are seeing animals who are souls who have taken bodies to grow their souls. And sometimes they take those bodies so that they can find their way back into our families. That's what my animals were doing before I even knew they were doing that, before I even knew that reincarnation was possible or that they were even looking for us. Sometimes they find their way back to us, sometimes they don't. Sometimes it takes us lifetimes to find our way back to each other. I remember after Alki died and Oliver, who's now back with me, was telling me, oh, you know, we've had harder times finding each other in previous lifetimes. And I'm like, what? Like what? Because they remember things better than we do. But when he came, it was very clear. I sent him to a place, very healthy place. I bought a purebred dog. I have no apologies for that. And I'm asking you, if you're going out there to adopt an animal, to bring an animal into your family, go for the heart connection. Go for what calls to you. If you're taking an animal from another place, from another family that can't keep it, more power to you and to that animal, because somewhere in that choice of taking that animal, I'm hoping you've made a heart connection and not just one where you feel an obligation to take this animal in. Maybe that works. Maybe that's the heart connection that's calling to you. But whatever you do, however you bring an animal into your family, I have a friend who brings only old animals into her family, and that's what she does. And she braces herself because they aren't there very long. But it's amazing and it's beautiful. And however you create your families, however your animals come into your families, cherish them as a family members they are, but start to make decisions for them based on what the science shows you, what your common sense is telling you. If I had only listened to my common sense when I was challenging the veterinarian on spaying Murphy, maybe she would not have died of a cancer that's related to early neuter. Maybe she would have lived a little longer, even though she was old at the time. I don't know. There aren't answers to that. The only response to that is to make the best decision you can for the next animals that come into your life, however they come into your life. Because we're there creating families with them, and they're creating families with us. And they're growing their souls, and we're growing our souls within the context of that family. So we're boosting each other up on that way. But we're not asking them to be our gurus and our teachers and our healers, because we're better than that. We're better than forcing someone else, some other being, to take care of us. We take care of ourselves, they take care of ourselves, and we take care of each other in a family, because that's what families do. That's what love is all about. And there's a lot more we can talk about, and we will in future shows. But for today, just hold that in your mind. You don't want to be a martyr to politics. You don't want to be a martyr to what is PC. You want to create the healthiest family you can, human and animal. And you do that by the facts, by the experience, by the common sense, and by listening to your intuition. Your intuition is real. And when there's something going on and you're not quite sure, put your hands on them. Let your hands heal. Let healing energy come in there. You're not channeling it through your body. You're simply holding your hands out there and going, oh, yes, reminding myself that energy can come in and heal. So I thank you for joining us today. We have a lot of subjects coming up here in the future. And you're welcome to email me with questions, with comments, with topics you'd like to cover. As I'm here creating this opportunity for us to grow and to learn together, and yes, to share my very decided opinions at times, but we're all in it together, right? We're all saving each other, saving ourselves, saving our families, creating the healthy, positive world that we want to live in, and that's what we're here for. I offer personal and business intuition, mediumship, animal communication, space clearing, and past life and between life regression, a process I call soul progression clearing, which helps clear out the blockages without having to put a name on them, fill you up with healthy energy. I'm out there working as an intuitive and spiritual consultant and past life regression specialist because I see that I can help people in that way, help people and their animal families and their human families. So if you'd like to work with me, you can find me at my website, robynfritz.com. That's RobynFritz.com. You can also find me on Facebook at The Practical Intuitive Robyn M. Fritz, and Mondays at 11 on Facebook at the Humanity Healing page. Cross your hands on your heart, breathe into the palms of your hands, imagine healing energy and closing you back down, closing out your crown chakra with that connection to Fallon. And we'll see you next week. Thank you for joining me. Take care.